Okay, and I think we're in at the right time. I should say good evening to RBN listeners. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting in Round Rock, Texas. PJ Barden is my name, and we're here today on this Saturday, 12th of September, 2020. And it's getting worse, folks. I mean, these politicians are total degenerate morons now. They're testing through the Department of Health, and surprise, surprise, they're finding more infections. So as of Monday in Wales here in the UK, which was not enforcing mask wearing, we have to wear masks to go into a supermarket. I mean, this is insane, absolutely insane, because it's been proven without a shadow of a doubt that masks are utterly useless. They're destructive to your health, totally. As I just say to Dave and Ken here, and the technical end of things, that what you need is gloves, washable gloves. I have those horrendous sticky surgical gloves, which are horrendous things to wear. You have to peel them off like peeling your skin off almost when you come home. But that's what people need. But again, I must mention without a doubt, this outstanding, the last refuge of sanity in the United States is South Dakota and this Christie Nome, where they don't have any lockdowns, contact tracing, no mask wearing, none of this crap whatsoever, and no mention of vaccines. That's South Dakota. So that's the last refuge of sanity in the United States. But again, we've got four jurisdictions in the UK, England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, all giving out different advice. And as UK column people, outstanding people, Brian Gerrish, Robinson, and our Yankee friend Patrick Henningsen discovered a document, a government document, where it was policy with the SAGE committee, they're another bunch of schmucks supposed to be managing and advising on this crisis, saying that it was important to create confusion and fear. And that's what we have. That's what we have. And there's a photograph in the Daily Mail today of people queuing up. The Brits love queuing. For 5 hours to get a test. I mean, I shouldn't be laughing. It's sick. If they are now intimidated at that level, I mean, we've got a bent, collapsing society. Absolutely. And four jurisdictions giving different advice. And in this morning's Daily Mail, they're claiming that the UK is losing control of the virus. What? What? They never had remotely control of it, anything, apart from running off of the mouth, isolate. That's all they could do. And I said, not one syllable of advice, not a word about preventative medicine, what to take, etc. No, isolate, which is it's just unbelievable. And considering teams of doctors, 600 in one jurisdiction in America and 100 in Texas, said that hydroxychloroquine and zinc were giving them 100% results for people who had contracted the disease, right? Where the infection is almost irrelevant. And that's now skewed because the lockdown, 5 months of lockdown in the UK, after 6 months of neglect doing nothing, where all airline travel brought it into the UK, incubated in recycled air. You couldn't do it better than growing it in a petri dish, as I said before. Boris Johnson, a tosser on this subject, was trying to talk it out of existence, just like Trump, right up to February, and then finally the end of March, 23rd of March, was this lockdown. But this is deliberate planned confusion, and the draconian laws being introduced, plus they've now introduced these marshals, and they're paying them young, uneducated morons who are going to be enforcing mask wearing where it's mandatory. And they're paying them £15-17 an hour, £30,000 a year, right, for new marshals, right? So that's also coming our way. All right, just to get rid of something here, yeah. But on every level. And then Piers Corbyn, who's fighting the fight with many key speakers and medical people, and also David Icke, has held two major public rallies, one in London, one in Sheffield. And he has now been hit with a £10,000 fine, right? And he's been on this program, remember, our friend, who was about 18 months ago now, maybe 2 years, where he is a scientist, a meteorologist, a qualified meteorologist, and a solar scientist. And he's the most accurate weather forecaster on the planet. And the BBC boycott him because they're playing the global warming game with NASA, who are part of this global warming carry-on as well. And he has been hit with these fines and manhandled into a police wagon. And he's 73 years of age. And he is the most civilized individual. I've met him at an event last November here in Herefordshire, etc., etc. But anyway, just to put it in perspective, Ken has one of the first audios I sent him today. It's 9 minutes. It'll fit in now. And that one there, Ken, of Piers Corbyn's statement outside Sheffield police station. You got that one? Okay. Hello? I can't hear it.
Well, welcome to a Basis News on Piers Corbyn. We had an update on Sunday where we got information that Piers was horrifically arrested in Sheffield. What's happening is that Piers has been persecuted and hounded by authorities on high to prevent him from speaking on anything at all. So we're going to give his report from Sheffield after he was released. He was released late Sunday afternoon. And this is his report, and we'll just get that for you now.
Hello, I'm Piers Corbyn. I've just been released from Sheffield Police Station after being held for 23 hours and 53 minutes, and we've been had three charges imposed upon me. And here I'm making a statement about our movement and the way forward. My arrest on the 5th of September and imprisonment overnight was, like all the virus psychological operation, not justifiable in any terms. The police are now embarking on a new, stronger imposition of the New World Order rule, required to impose a dehumanised technocratic tyranny upon us all, which takes away your jobs, your rights, your freedoms, your ability to travel, your education, your normal social interactions and your culture. And I want to thank the people of Sheffield who supported me yesterday after the rally as we marched through the streets of Sheffield to cheering crowds. The police tried to arrest me twice and they were held off by the valiant efforts of people, three of whom were arrested. But after the two attempts of a failed arrest, they got me and the three others. So we are the Sheffield Four. It was a question of numbers in the end. Had this been September the 5th, 1984, during the miners' strike, we would have won that day. However, we are not daunted. We are stronger now than ever because in the long run, we have the numbers. We will to the end, just as we.
I played that before the program, and it was clear. I don't know what's wrong with it now. Okay, go ahead. It might clear up. Okay.
Very bad. And very bad they stuff. Are few. We can win. So, the next few days and the coming weeks until the 26th of September, we have to organise and spread the message like we've never done before. So every town and village should set up an Our Movement Committee, our committees to build for the 26th of September. And we challenge Sadiq Khan, the Mayor of London, to officially permit our rally on the 26th of September. And I am the point of contact for liaison.
Okay, it's not, it's very bad, very, very bad. Okay. But anyway, what it is, it's Piers Corbyn giving a report on his arrest and a new rally that they're going to hold in defiance on the 26th of September in Trafalgar Square, London, again. And that'll be a standoff, that's for sure. But I think that will be very, very heavily attended, and the police will be outnumbered because the draconian rules of the lockdown are insane. They're stupid. They're not necessary. And they say they're following the science. No, they're not. They're following Bill Gates and Big Pharma's pimping representatives who work their way onto all these committees like SAGE. And I have one of the things from the first week of this, I have the SAGE list here. And every one of the people, on 23 people on it, who are all hacks and involved in companies and organizations like Imperial College, where that Professor Neil Ferguson gave out ridiculous, ridiculous estimates of possible deaths, 2.2 million. I mean, insane. And now we have, as we know, last week, and it's running into this week as well, the admission by the CDC and in Britain that the figures were absolutely outrageously. They've reduced them down about 94%. And I'm just coming, jumping back through this. I didn't expect to have to abandon that broadcast. But anyway, the BBC putting out a daily figure of what's the rate of infection. It's beyond belief. It's 46,000, they're claiming. And it's something like less than 2,000. Right? Imagine that for a horrendous lie. That's people with infection. 46,000. Well, I think there should be hundreds of thousands of infected, because it was running for 6 months. 6 months unchecked, etc., etc. I have the document here. And then they, after it broke out in Wuhan in China, they're sick or not, it's going through these repetitive statistics, but it's worth remembering. Mid-September, you then had the World Army Sports Games in Wuhan no less, from 120 countries, 30 or 40 military representatives taking part in sports and competitions. They went back to their countries and spread the virus, right? And then airline travel was not shut down in Britain until very well into February this year, March. And so it was circulating. So surprise, they're finding more cases. And there's 68 million people in the UK. And I think talked to one actuarian who thinks there could be 3 million people infected, but that's the infection, that's not the outbreak. And the amount of people in hospitalized is tiny, infinitesimal. The amount of people dying directly of it, as they've now been found out, is tiny beyond belief. And they're jacking up and reintroducing another quasi-lockdown. And then they're jumping around. They've done 12 knee-jerk reactions, which has made the government a laughingstock. Some of their own hard supporters, like Alan Sugar and that, are quite rightly attacking them for this suddenly changing. When you have 10,000, 50,000, 60,000 Brits in a country like Croatia on holidays, and then say they're adding Croatia to the banned list of countries, those people have to scramble home from their holiday and pay horrendous money. Anybody who knows about changing an airline ticket, your return ticket, they absolutely crucify you, and it's costing what should have been about £200-300, costing people £1,000, and they're having to come home. If they miss the deadline, they have to isolate for 14 days, which disrupts their jobs, and they have really antagonized people, and there's no respect for this. And as of Monday, in the UK collectively, I think it's 66 rule, no more than 6 people gathered together in a cafe, in a restaurant, in a pub. And that was really pee off the pub trade, who have recovered, just opened up the last 2 weeks. And they have to scramble to this rule. And Boris Johnson, I must say, he's a total talking, total rubbish. He's doing a good job in these final massive attack and rows with the European Union in the last 3 months of these negotiations. They're standing off now and got to go for no deal, fair enough. But on the coronavirus, he is all over the place. And he just does, considering he suffered from himself and was hospitalized, you'd think he would knuckle down and extract the facts of the matter with some intelligent people. But that does not seem to have happened. And the BBC here saying the latest figure is 350,000 confirmed cases, total deaths 41,500. And we are very good friends in UK Column, who have 15 years refining techniques of sifting and double-checking the news and checking with medical people and direct contacts with hospitals and actuaries and statisticians, say that the UK death rate is under 2,000. Under 2,000, the BBC saying it's 41,000. I mean, it's 41,000 died with a trace of the infection. But this is, imagine taking major decisions that is wrecking the economy, absolutely wrecking it from top to bottom. And this is what we're left with here in the UK. And I'm waiting for the people just to rise up here. I don't know how much more they can take, but it's disheartening to see people like cowering there in the Daily Mail. If you go to the Daily Mail online paper today, the internet version of it, which is vast, 10 times more news than the 100-page daily printed paper. Thousands of people queuing up for 5 hours. I wouldn't queue 5 hours for anything, ever. A queue for 15 minutes would be a drudge for me. But for a test, and the tests are discredited left, right, and centre. And again, false positives showing up left, right, and centre. But this is what we're left with, and it's just... It's, as I say, comparing to how that breath of fresh air in America, it's screwed up completely. New York, the horror stories of New York, the horror stories of California. It's beyond words, and the direct shocking lies that Turley and Dr. Carlson and Laura Ingram dealing with, these blatant lies. I mean, outrageous lies. And the mainstream media in America supporting the BLM, Antifa, and all these paid hacks. Steve Turley, who I've played many of his things, I've one or two of them today. He has done an hour-long piece. I can't play that, but it's a fantastic survey report right across America, right across Europe and Britain, about the very strong movement to conservative values by young people, all age groups, including the Z generation. Might have touched some of these differences, the millennials, the snowflakes, but it's CNN and the mainstream media lying through their teeth. And it's crystal clear that most of these troublemakers are paid thugs and terrorists by the likes of George Soros. And this is going on. I don't know how Trump can live with this. I just do not know, etc. But and they're all saying, oh, he'll win. Well, they did nothing to clean up the voting mess. The postal vote in America and in Britain is a gargantuan mess. And 10 years ago, there was a major inquiry by a judge in Birmingham where about 50, 60 Muslims in a warehouse were found with thousands of postal votes filling them in. Right? And the same judge, I forget his name, I did cover it at the time, said that the Birmingham Electoral Register, Britain's second city, would do justice to a banana republic. And they're still running on that same electoral register today. So Johnson doesn't get this, but we need massive reform of the ultra-liberalized voting laws. If you live on if you put down a park bench as your address, you can get a vote in the UK, right? And it's pretty bad in California as well. Okay, we'll go to this break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Coming back in for the first break. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. And just describing the shambles, the total shambles and destruction of the mass mishandling of this virus. And one of the statistics I've worked out with people is the flu epidemic in Britain of 2017-18 was quite severe, hardly commented on, and up 8,000 or 9,000 people died. The flu elderly, 48,000 died. So the flu epidemic, you know, to hear this, of 2017-18 was 21 times more destructive than the coronavirus death rate of Britain today. 21 times more. And the entire country running around and crashing into itself, run by total morons. And I include Boris Johnson on that, who has had a lifetime of being reckless with detail. Totally reckless, there's no doubt about it. And a study shows more than 90% of cases tested COVID positive are wrongly diagnosed. Joe Hoff, to writing this article from the Gateway Pundit, that even a broken clock is right two times a day. The New York Times, of all places, released their one honest article this year that shows that the majority of those who tested positive for the China coronavirus were misdiagnosed. The Red State shared the results of a recent study reported by the New York Times. Repeating itself, the virus that everybody in America has been rushing out to get, the PCR tests for coronavirus that people are rushing out to get. Well, according to the Times, they're diagnosing huge numbers of people who may be carrying relatively insignificant amounts of the virus and are not likely to be contagious. But it's not a sophisticated test of degree. It's just any contact at all. It's boom, you're infected. In fact, when they looked at these sets of testing data from Massachusetts, New York, and Nevada, the New York Times says that because of the faulty procedures used, every single testing site in the country, up to 90% of people testing positive carried barely any virus at all. And these people's names are going on a database now where they'll be persecuted for the rest of their lives. The experts they talked to were astonished that such cases are even getting classified as infections. Not surprising, since, as we all see in the first of many curious understatements about how bad the scandal they're reporting on really is. The research the Times cites is actually suggests that those bogus positive tests they discovered were given to people carrying no virus whatsoever. Not just in significant amounts, as they report, as the upper bound band I said, of 90% for bogus positive is likely too low as well, right? After billions being spent on these tests, it appears that the U.S. wasted a lot of money. No wonder, as the number of tests increases, the number of individuals identified with the virus increases, but the number of hospitalization and deaths decreases. It's down to minuscule levels in the U.K. As we previously posted, the increased testing is a bit insane and probably should have been more directed. Oh, God, that was an understatement. And quoting somebody from, is that a Twitter, ethical skeptic, they will be teaching this in sociology classes hundreds of years from now. The quintessential, if there's a life on Earth, the quintessential case of how large numbers of experts can be controlled to ends of destructive, to the ends of destructive ignorance by means of mob rule. Well, the mob rule being Big Pharma and the New World Order, who are running this completely and totally. And that's what we're at the mercy of. But people are, I mean, talk about disinformation. But there will be, I think there will be a breaking point where people just absolutely start to rise up, et cetera. And then especially when this furlough money is shut down in almost completely by the end of October, and then people saying that their jobs are gone, that the unemployment rate has not registered, people claiming it. But the state of the country, no accurate figures could be possibly calculated until, I think, well after Christmas. But, again, more and more announcements from companies closing down branches, etc. And it said, same article that another journalist wrote, Peter Rands, up to 90% of people test positive barely carry any of the disease. Yes, indeed. But this lawsuit in Ohio, Ohio's citizen groups filed a federal lawsuit to remove state COVID-19 emergency order. This is an article for Activist Post by B.N. Frank. Ohio is getting a lot of attention lately for alleged legislator lobbyist utility corruption. Says you, what's new? And also citizens taking action against state mandates of COVID. Recently, another lawsuit has been filed by the latter. Toledo, Ohio, a citizens group has filed a lawsuit to federal court to remove Governor Mike DeWine's emergency health order, which was signed on March the 9th and remains in place today. Okay, we'll go to the bottom of the hour break and we'll be back in a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalized blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, and we're coming back in from the bottom of the hour break. This is the Barden Report, and we're reading this article about the lawsuit. Ohio Citizens Group files federal lawsuit to remove state COVID-19 emergency laws, etc., from this schmuck who is this creature they elected. This Governor Mike DeWine's emergency health order, which was signed on March the 9th, etc., etc. And they go on to say that DeWine was asked about the lawsuit during a press conference Tuesday. I've been sued many times. The Ohio Department of Health has been sued many times, but they have been in many different counties, he said. Man is ranting and raving. We're doing what we know will make a difference. We've been very thoughtful of what we've done, he said. None of these decisions are made in a vacuum. Meaningless crap. I just have to say, stay focused on what we need to do in Ohio. That's absolutely empty rhetoric. According to Ohio Department of Health website on Tuesday, there have been 124,600 positive COVID tests since the pandemic began, with 4,165 deaths. Well, the estimate for actual deaths in America is about 9,000 on one set of figures we have. Organizers said the lawsuit, solely funded by donations from Ohio citizens, as of August 30th, donations reached $34,000. For more information, visit whatever the site is. We believe that the response to COVID-19 has been the greatest fraud ever perpetrated on the American public, Rentz said in an email press release. Declare your independence. Profit outside the rigged system. Protect yourself from tyranny and economic collapse. Subtly some job. Learn to live free and spread peace. Okay, sounds a bit charismatic. Counter Markets newsletter. The objective of this legal action is to force the state to honor the Constitution and to stop the lies, manipulation, and fear-mongering intentionally being promoted by the public health officials and elected officials. The attorneys said they are determined to restore the constitutional rights that have been stripped away by the state of Ohio's unjust rural actions. Ohio, I remember, used to be pretty much a Dutch state, if my memory is correct. I lived in the States. Recently, the CDC, really hear this figure, confirmed that 94% of the deaths attributed to the coronavirus were with people who had as many as 2 to 3 other serious illnesses. They're now admitting this. So that leaves 6% were accurate, and that's even too high. The majority of those deaths are individuals 75 and older. 6% of the deaths are directly from COVID-19, according to the CDC. Wow, well, that's notice that came out after Fauci was removed from his key role, right? The entire U.S. economy was shut down based on fraudulent models, as the U.K. was, that predicted 2.2 million deaths. Well, that's the same figure cropped up here with that creature, Neil Ferguson. The state of Ohio violated the U.S. Constitution with an emergency declaration that ignores the fundamental rights of Ohioans. As a result, millions of Ohioans are suffering financially, physically, and mentally. And as Rensing Garches stated, who are these two journalists, hundreds of thousands of businesses are struggling and many will never reopen. Drug overdose and suicides have increased, as have domestic violence and child abuse, etc., resulting from the same lockdown. Many Ohioans were unable to get treatment for conditions not related to COVID. Yeah, well, they shut down the major NHS here. Virtually no treatment being given and no operations. There are now millions of operations behind. I mean, they'll never catch up. Children are struggling emotionally as many are forced into continued isolation and remote learning situations. Masks are dangerous, prevent proper breathing and provide no real protection. Family have been barred from seeing their loved ones, etc., etc., etc. But anyway, amongst all this, and I come to the next audio we have today, amongst all this in Britain, we have an absolute invasion of 52 boats coming ashore. There's illegal immigrants in Dover this last week. And Nigel Farage has done an outstanding piece. And it's Ken, you got it there. It's Nigel Farage, broadcast on the recent 52 illegal immigrant boats. He's also talking about the coronavirus and Brexit. And that one is 12 minutes. You got that there? Okay, we'll go to that now. Nigel Farage exposing.
Well, it's
what's
Friday,
going on.
The 11th of September, and it's time for a Brexit update. But first, before I do that, I want to say massive thanks to just vast numbers of you. I ask, please send in information about what's happening in the channel if you've got it, if you live on the South Coast. I then put out the appeal: has a hotel near you recently been filled up with illegal immigrants? And I have been absolutely bombarded. info@nfarage.com is where I asked for the information, and I have had just the most massive amount of correspondence. Even I'm astonished by the sheer number of hotels all over this country that have been filled up over the course of the last few months. And I thank all of you for getting in touch with me. I've read every single one of the emails. I've responded to most of you. I've done my very best to. I can't even possibly begin to investigate and follow up all of the leads. There are just so many of them. I've also had many of you write to me with your own difficult personal circumstances. People have been victims of crime, many other things. I just don't have the resources. I'm sorry to do individual casework. What I can do is to shine a light on big issues that are simply not being talked about by mainstream media. And really, the reason I started going to the channel was because people who lived on the South Coast started telling me what was happening, how the numbers were increasing. And I thought, well, why are mainstream media not covering it? Well, after some time of us doing it together, we did start to get mainstream media covering it. But where are we today? Well, I can tell you. Today is another dismal record day in the English Channel. Kent Coast Guard has confirmed 52 migrant boats have made it to British waters today. Many of them now, because there are so many boats coming, are coming all the way and landing on the shingle. And we're seeing a new trend of people who get to the beaches just disappearing. One particular incident today on Kingsdown, 33 life jackets found from quite a big dinghy, but only 7 people waiting to be picked up by Border Force. The rest gone, disappeared. 52 boats in one day, and yet I got considerable stick earlier this year for predicting there would be an invasion. We were told the language Mr. Farage was using was completely over the top. Well, if 52 votes in one day is not an invasion, you tell me what it is. We keep getting words from Priti Patel. At last, we have an acknowledgement that there is a problem with the EU's Dublin regulations. So she's basically saying they're not going to do a damn thing until at least the 1st of January. How many more thousands of people will come? How much is this going to cost us? And by the way, what are the social consequences? Because the BBC and others will show you a pregnant woman, a young child. The newspapers will write that these are desperate people trying to get to our country. Well, one or two of them, maybe. But please keep this in your heads. 85% of those that come are young men between 18 and 30. Nearly all of them come from countries where women are not even regarded as second-class citizens, where tolerance of alternative lifestyles is zero. And we know that amongst their number, there are some that pose a genuine threat to our national security. And the knock-on effects of this are being felt up and down this country already. And yet, when you write to your MP, most of them will do their best to ignore you or fob you off. I've got a case, for example, that's coming this week. A couple of you have written to me and thank you. And I'm not going to name the school. I think that'd be wrong of me. But a girls' school in Birmingham, where the headmistress has now written to all of the parents saying that the girls must use different bus stops. The girls must take different routes to and from school every day because there is a hotel very close to the school that has been taken over by illegal migrants. And their language, their behaviour towards young girls is unacceptable, bordering on the dangerous. These are the knock-on social consequences of allowing a very large number of people illegally to stay in our country. And, you know, if you come from a completely different culture, then there are forms of behaviour that they may find acceptable that we find totally unacceptable. We've seen this happen in Malmo in Sweden and other cities around Europe. I don't want it happening in any cities in this country. I suspect that the migrant crisis is going to get considerably worse over the course of the next weeks and months. And it's time the government said we are suspending the Dublin regulations. We cannot go on just allowing people, once they cross that line and get within 12 miles of the Kent shoreline, to be taken into the country and to be allowed to stay. But I would suggest you don't hold your breath. I also want Law and Order have had many of you write to me, deeply distressed by what's going on. I did put a video out of some scenes that happened in a small village in Kent called Greatstone, where somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 people turned up for a rave. There was all sorts of damage done, all sorts of antisocial behaviour, 4 police officers injured, one of them very seriously. How many arrests do you reckon there were? One. Just one arrest. And yet, Piers Corbyn, Jeremy's brother, I can't say I'm a, you know, supporter or fan of everything that Piers Corbyn stands for. But here's the point. Have a look at the videos of the arrest of Piers Corbyn. There's about 24 police officers. And this is what I'm getting time and again from people. A feeling that the law is being applied very harshly to those who are naturally quite law-abiding, but peacefully protesting, and yet violent protest and vandalism goes pretty much unpunished. We've had Extinction Rebellion this week in London, another Marxist organisation. Yes, of course, they say they're about saving the planet and all the rest of it, but actually, it's a hard left-wing organisation. And again, yesterday, Churchill's statue was defaced by these people, and as far as I know, no one has yet been arrested and charged for that crime. So all sorts of issues like this. Of course, we are now facing lockdown, effectively. Only groups of 6 of us can meet from Monday. Yes, coronavirus infections are going up, but actually look at the numbers of people being hospitalised. Look at the numbers of people dying from or with COVID. we're actually losing. In the last couple of days, we will lose on average as many people in road deaths as we are due to COVID. And yet the government cracking down, taking away, I think, our reasonable rights and liberties. I'm certainly not happy that it's my mum's 80th birthday next week and we can't have a family party because we're not allowed under the law. But it's okay, because Boris has promised us the moonshot at a new testing regime. There are going to be 10 million tests a day early next year. Do you believe that? Well, we've heard about world-beating testing in the past. They failed with every single promise they've made, yet they think they make an even bigger promise and somehow we're going to go quietly. Which brings us to the most important political issue for Boris Johnson and his government. They got a majority of 80 because they very much took the Brexit Party line on what Brexit should be. But there's a problem, and it's called the withdrawal agreement. And I know, of course, I'll be criticised, but I'm going to say this. I told you all this last year. The day after Boris signed that new withdrawal agreement in Brussels, I gave a speech in London at the QE2 Centre. All of my colleagues in the Brexit Party supported me 100% in what I said that night. I pointed out, firstly, that this wasn't just a deal, it was a new European treaty. Barnier was going around Brussels with the agreement, wrapped up in a leather folder, holding it up and saying, this is a new EU treaty. So, I didn't campaign for 25 years to leave the European treaties to sign up to a new one. But that is what Boris did. Yes, the backstop went, and the backstop was replaced by Northern Ireland literally being cast off, being put into a separate constitutional place. I pointed out that the European Court of Justice would continue to have jurisdiction. I pointed out that under fisheries, we'd signed up to the principle of non-discrimination, and that means that whilst we get our territorial waters back, we don't get our fish back. I pointed out that state aid would have to conform to EU rules. I even pointed out that in the treaty we made a commitment for our foreign policy to remain aligned to the European Union. But nobody was in the mood to listen last year. We were suffering, I think, from Brexhaustion. We just had enough. And there was a new Prime Minister spreading optimism around the place, and people wanted to believe him. Now, I don't know whether Boris Johnson understood what he was saying, whether he'd really studied the document, or whether he just willfully misled the British people to get a short-term hit and to get something passed in Parliament. But the truth of where we are now, where Brandon Lewis admits we're going to break the treaty, we're going to break international law, which, of course, has led to very senior figures, people like Norman Lamont, Michael Howard, devoted Brexiteers, but they're very, very worried about us breaking an international treaty. Of course, treaties have always mattered to us. After all, we went to war in 1914 because of a treaty we'd signed to protect Belgium neutrality. We often quote the Treaty of Utrecht as why Gibraltar is still part, basically run by the British, or a dominion of the United Kingdom and not Spain. And yet here we have a government breaking a treaty. They say they won't back down. The European Union say that they will not change the treaty. All I know for certain is that Barnier will not change one dot or comma of that treaty. This is a mess of Boris Johnson's own making. If he backs down, we get Brexit in name only. If he carries on, we break an international treaty, and I think much of the world will look upon us poorly. It's a very, very tough place we're in. I'm not one that would normally advocate the breaking of treaties, but I can't bear the thought of Brexit in name only. Even if our international reputation has done some damage for a few years, better to get a proper Brexit and be free than be stuck inside their fisheries rules, their state aid rules, and to be overseen by the European Court of Justice. The truth of it is, a massive con job was perpetrated, was put upon the British people last year with what was called an oven-ready deal. And the consequences of that are now coming back to haunt the Prime Minister. It's a difficult one, but I hope that this at least explains to you why we're in the mess that we are. Thank you.
Okay, very good. But anyway, Farage is always crystal clear. It was an outstanding piece for you. You dealt with three very complex issues. But anyway, we'll go to this break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
.com presents the most important question for our generation. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Witness the prosecution and defense of the United States Constitution on trial, live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and streamed live on YouTube. For the prosecution, Ted Weiland, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of Bible Law versus the United States Constitution, The Christian Perspective. Versus for the defense, Brent Allen Winters, a practicing lawyer and author of Excellence of Common Law in Light of History, Nature, and Scripture. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and live streamed on YouTube. Saturday, September 19th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. Come one, come all. This most important event is free to attend and streamed live on YouTube. Go to constitutionontrial.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Okay. We're coming back in from the third break today, and before we got cut off there with the ads, Nigel Farage's piece there where he dealt with this shocking migrant invasion of Britain, which is again the coronavirus coverage is masking all these issues, all these appalling organizations, including Extinction Rebellion, yet another organization, mostly geriatrics, wanting to this global warming agenda to be brought forward, et cetera, et cetera. But again, UK column, my colleagues there discovered that they were being facilitated by the police and all sorts of organisations and being given access to educational halls for their meetings, et cetera, no problem. And it's very sinister indeed what's going on, really and truly it is. Like in America, the cities in the East and West Coast being trashed is largely paid thugs and hooligans. I mean, if they can't go in and mop them up, I don't know. There isn't much hope for America. There really isn't. But as I say, Farage there also outlining the gargantuan mess that this final negotiation on a trade deal, which won't happen. This is 1 year, 2020, was to negotiate a trade deal and the future relationship with the European Union. It's falling apart. They're going for no deal. But again, Boris Johnson, the last election was won on the phrase, let's get Brexit done. Well, it won't be done, and it'll be a standoff and a trade war now in the new year. And they're already building lorry parks on the way into Dover for possible backup trucks there. But no doubt the French and the European Union will cause havoc, but there will be, a short, sharp trade war, and then there will finally be a deal. Probably that will probably take into Easter next summer. But the myriad of problems of the shutdown, totally unnecessary shutdown of the economy, and people on this furlough, it's softened the blow. But the furlough money for about 10 or 15 different systems running on small business, individuals, self-employed, and an accounting guy here telling me there's something for everyone, but it finishes at the end of October. And that's the run into Christmas, which would be pretty gruesome. Not going to phase it out. They're phasing it out now, but it's going to end completely. But I think, again, they'll have to jump from one foot to the other and keep it going until the new year, because that would just be too much punishment on people. And I think then people will rise up. And as I said, one of the positive things, not many, out of all this is that the alternative media in Britain has got a massive boost, massive. And there's about 12 entities now knocking hell out of the government and the BBC. And the BBC is now nearly as bad as CNN. I never thought I'd see that day. But as regards to news and propaganda and lying about the figures, even the CDC has corrected the figures. A 94% correction. 94%. Woo! And admitting that they people the deaths they were quoting were people with two or three very serious conditions who had a token infection of COVID. But anyway, there we are. We're at the top of the hour. We'll go to this break and we'll be back in a few minutes.
I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.